Hello and welcome to the Ozone. I'm your host, Jeff Hazard, retired sports information director of SUNY Oneonta. And on today's show, we're going to be visiting with Tracy Ranieri, former athletic director and women's soccer coach, who we will be inducting into the Athletic Hall of Fame on Saturday, June 10th. So welcome to the show, Tracy.
Thank you, Jeff. Hello, everyone.
Yeah, you're currently in Florida. Warmer weather. We've been getting a nor'easter, but you're in Florida.
Well, just playing a little golf.
Yeah, playing a little golf. Well, listen, first of all, on behalf of the Hall of Fame committee, we certainly congratulate you on this well-deserved honor. I mean, what you meant to the college throughout your tenure, 30 years, was just amazing. And I mean, you and I, this never gets old for me to be able to talk about all the history and the success and all the things that you've accomplished and how you led our athletic department during that time. So congratulations.
Oh, thank you, Jeff. And back at you. We had such a great team during all those years. And I really want to say thank you to the Hall of Fame committee for this honor. I really, truly, it's just really wonderful.
So why don't we just maybe start a little bit at the beginning before we, you know, talk about some of the highlights, because I know that you wanted to, you know, do that as far as, you know, some of the stuff coaching and administrative, but the campus was kind of going through a, you know, a transition of sorts when you first came there. So maybe could you talk a little bit about, you know, what it was like when you first came to the campus, and then we can start moving towards, you know, some of the things that you started doing to change, you know, and fit in with that. So.
Sure. You know, I love talking about the history. We have such an amazing history in athletics. But for me personally, I guess I want to start back just a tiny bit sooner. In 1986, when I graduated from college, I wasn't sure what I was going to do. And the spring of my senior year in college, Coach Chris Malone from Cortland called me on the phone. That was when we didn't have cell phones. The phone was down the hall in the dormitory. And I get a holler. I get on the phone with Coach Malone. And, you know, having played at Ithaca College, we played Cortland all the time. And I'd like to say that Ithaca came out on top most of those times. And Coach Malone asked me what I was doing in the fall and if I wanted to coach with him. And so back then, you know, we're talking 35 years ago, there weren't a lot of women coaching at all that I envisioned, other than my amazing high school coach and my college coach that were women. But there weren't very many women in my life that were coaching. So when he called and asked me to do that, I thought, wow, can you be a coach? Is that like a career? Because I was in medicine, I was in exercise science, I was, I ended up getting my nursing degree and my graduate degree in cardiac rehabilitation. I really thought medicine was the way I was going for my lifetime career. But this was like, okay, this is only going to be for a short time. Let me go see how this is. And oh my goodness, did I catch the bug? Because 1986 was the very first year that the NCAA had a Division III national championship for women's soccer, and Cortland was the host. So as the assistant coach for that program, I got so much experience right away in how to run a championship. And we lost in the semifinals hosting the tournament, but oh my goodness, it was an amazing experience for me. And through the rest of my life, I said to myself, I want to host a national championship. This was an incredible experience, and I'd like to give this experience to players that I coach. So really, full circle, you know, in 2003 when we had the opportunity to do that. You know, back to your question. So I was hired part-time in 1991, and at the time, there was no budget for recruiting, but as a coach, you know that recruiting is your life's blood. And so I spent a lot of time. I had a full-time job at the hospital in their cardiac rehab program. And I was loving that. But, you know, the part-time stuff was really drawing me because I loved working with these young women that were just, you know, invincible. And so the recruiting began pretty hardcore. And we were actually pretty good with the players that came that weren't recruited. And then also, as we got some players from all over New York, we became that much better. And so I think what I did early on was I developed a lot of relationships across campus. And there were so many allies across campus that wanted to serve and support student athletes. It was a really special time when I was coaching. I have so many people I want to thank in this podcast who are retired, some have passed away, and people that are still there that just live and breathe Red Dragon Red and want to give students a good experience.
Right. So as you're, you know, starting out, you know, more or less young coach, like you said, you know, female coach, there aren't a lot out there for you to maybe lean on or whatever, but how did you really go about building this powerhouse, this that eventually won a national title?
Well, when I had to make the choice, when I was offered the job full time in 1996, a lot of things changed, because prior to that, I was recruiting and I was coaching, and that's what I was doing. And we had some really good pieces in place at that time. But when I became full time, I did add, you know, the assistant athletic director, the senior woman administrator, the compliance officer, the student athlete advisory committee advisor, the faculty liaison to my roles. But I was on campus all day and every day doing all of those things. So that was really fun. And getting involved in the conference through my SWA, Senior Woman Administrator and Assistant Athletic Director duties really helped to broaden, like, my, you need to know all of it, I think, as a coach to understand how do you win in your conference and how you have, there's so many things to learn. So I think once I was on campus and I had the time to do that learning is when we really took off. The other, you know, great joy, and everybody who knows me knows this, is the fact that Dave Ranieri, my husband, who was coaching the men's team at the time, made the ultimate sacrifice to come and coach with me. You know, a lot of things changed with that as well. Having a husband and wife team go recruit together, coach together, we, you know, families seemed to like that. And we developed a ton of really positive relationships with families to show our recruits that it wasn't just about graduating. It wasn't even about soccer. It was about really having a great experience at Oneonta. And we really believed it and we really lived it all those years. So when you say powerhouse, I'm very humble that you use that word. We just every day tried to outwork everybody else. It was a very blue collar mentality. But I think what happened over the years is we just had a self-belief that that work was going to translate into W's. And, you know, you're the one that made me all nervous when you told me that we had surpassed the record for unbeaten games in the country in Division I, II, and III, men's and women. I didn't even know that was happening. You had to spoil it for me, Jeff. And, you know, at that point, still, we were just trying to take one game at a time, one practice at a time, keep everybody healthy and, you know, keeping everybody focused on their academics, because I was just always a huge believer that if they played great soccer and all of the things that students learn in the sport that they love at a high level, those skills are going to translate not only into their academics, but into their social life, into having great relationships. And my whole career was led by that. And that's how I learned through my high school coach. And I hope that my players and David's players feel that they knew that we really cared about them and we wanted to push them to the limit so that now in their life, they use those skills every day to have a great life.
Right, right. Raising the bar, setting the bar high. Don't expect less, right?
For sure.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, when I first got to campus, was kind of really the beginning of quite a run, like you said, of conference unbeaten streaks and conference titles and NCAA tournaments. And so, and we had some near misses, you know, we had some tough games there. It was always the one we had to get over the William Smith hurdle. You know, mm-hmm. we went there and played some incredible games that I just was on the sideline watching. And I'm like, wow, this is intense and it's pretty great. But you just kept coming back, you know what I mean? Like that fight, you know, and I think, you know, leading into that 2003 season, you know, maybe you can talk a little bit about how those other lessons from past years, you know, might've helped you during that run in 2003.
Oh yeah. When I think of some of the competition that we played all over the country, it was never dull. It was always exciting. And anybody who has won a national championship knows that everything has to be absolutely perfect. And in the years that we were that close, unfortunately, we had an injury or we had something that just, it wasn't quite perfect, but it was perfect enough for us to love and still remember those great experiences. I think that, you know, as we added the building blocks of not only great players that really loved Oneonta, we also tried to add the building blocks of a lot of our really amazing travel experiences that I think helped our players to see different styles of play at a high level. So in addition to traveling to Bermuda and Brazil and parts of Europe, Italy, England, France, we also played at a very high level domestically in Florida, in Arizona, in Louisiana, in California on those spring breaks. And we were able to see very strong players, very high levels. We played a lot of Division I schools and we played, you know, the Bermudian national team. We always wanted to play the best so that we could see where we measured. And so when we came home into our conference, we just had a lot of confidence going into what we were doing. And going back to when you can have your team have a self-belief and individuals have the self-belief and confidence that if I do what I need to do, what coach is telling me to do, and my teammates have my back, you find yourself winning, even if you're down. You know, the game is never over till it's over. And that was the truest statement in the national championship that ever was.
Yeah.
And, you know, I relive that moment a lot myself when I have really trying times, when you are down 1-0 with 29 seconds left in the game and you find a way to score a goal to tie the game and then win in overtime. That is the truest measure of this game ain't over. This game of life is not over until it is over. So do not give up. Whatever you do, don't give up. And I felt that our work ethic and our belief in each other and truly our players' love for each other, their friendships are so incredible, even to this day, that it's just really joyful for me to know that Oneonta gave us the opportunity to put these kinds of teams together. And they're still doing that today. And it's life-changing. It's life-changing for our student athletes at Oneonta.
Yeah, and that's really the... you know, you talk about the experience. I mean, you know, being able to travel and being able to, you know, just do the things that they did that you and Dave were able to give to them with the support of the college. I mean, certainly, you know, we had some great people above us that, you know, Dr. Perry and Bart and people like, and Dr. Donovan. I mean, people like that, that just said, you know, let's do what we can to be the best.
Without a question, the behind the scenes support from the administration, like you said, Dr. Donovan, Dr. Klinuski, Dr. Morris, and then Dr. Perry and Dr. Ingersoll, who oversaw us. They're, you know, I'm going to add Tom Rathbone, the director of facilities, in there as well, and Lachlan Squire, who really believed in the things that we were doing and the community of support. And a ton of faculty understood what we were doing, because let's not forget that student athletes have a higher GPA than general students. They have a higher retention rate than general students, and they graduate at a higher rate than general students. And the administration and the faculty who loved these students, they were also the best students in their classroom. They told me this countless times, was why we also were able to push the envelope in growing our budget and getting our, and giving our coaches the ability to recruit. Because when I was first coaching, there was no recruiting budget. I mean, we would go out on weekends to Long Island. We would spend our own money to get hotels, to get our, you know, get our, we had to see these players to find the right players. And it didn't, I didn't think anything of it other than, I don't understand why nobody's helping to support that, but we needed to do it if we wanted to survive. But so I was really excited when I transitioned into administration too, to help the administration understand how we needed to change the budget to support some of those things that coaches needed to do for success. But without a doubt, you know, the people that I've already mentioned, unbelievable in how they helped to support student athletes. And student athletes gave back by being really socially conscious, being really making really good decisions, and then lifting the colleges, elevating the college through our high standards academically too. Mm-hmm. I do need to just take a sidebar and just, you know, some of the faculty and folks that are coming to my mind that really made a difference in our winning ways. I got to start with the parents. The parents that were around our players were amazing. If I had challenges with a student, there were times where I called the parent, and it was amazing, because today I don't know that you can really do it in the same way, but they were really on board with what we were trying to do. And together we really elevated each player, you know, on the field. But the faculty, like Dr. Petraface from biology, Dr. Jennifer Bush from human ecology, Dr. Madeline Berry from education, Dr. Larry Guzzi from psychology, Dr. Wade Thomas from business economics, Dr. Norm Wesley from English, and Dr. Du Bois, who was the faculty advisor to the club soccer program, who started it all. These folks, I could go to these faculty at any time with a student athlete, and if they weren't in class, they would stop what they were doing and they would help me get this player. Roger Sullivan was absolutely the champion of this, without a doubt. God rest his soul. And then, of course, I'm so proud to be inducted with this class of 2003 and to know that my good friend, Eileen McClafferty, who was the director of academic advisement, who was the faculty mentor for the soccer team, who was so knowledgeable and could convince any parent and any student that they could graduate in 4 years. And she had a plan laid out for every one of them. She was absolutely amazing with all of our sports, getting our students to buy in and get it done. So I could thank a million other people, but those people just come to mind as, wow, whew, what a community it was to support our student athletes. What a community. They really got it.
Yeah. So, you know, you talked a little bit about the transition already into, you know, the administrative role. I mean, certainly moving from coaching to administration, you know, you already had that experience, you know, in the conference and being involved at that level. Obviously, we know, you know, not being able to coach anymore, you know, is difficult, and certainly for someone who's as competitive as you are. Just talk a little bit about that transition and how you felt that you were going to take that coaching experience and you know, use it for your administrative side in your role.
That was super hard. It really was super hard. I was glad I had David, you know, in my corner to help me as I was struggling with the transition. But I do believe that at the end of the day, it came down to, I loved coaching students, and boy, did I miss them. But now I just changed my thought process to I was coaching coaches and trying to elevate them and provide them the skills to support their student athletes. And the beauty of being in the athletic director role was I had just really the gift, the great pleasure, the joy to be involved with hiring some of the greatest people, some of the greatest people I'd ever met. And some of those people are still there doing amazing things. And every one of our coaches during my time and right now were coaches that really, really care, work super, super hard, see that the game has to start in the classroom, that they have to be winning in the classroom with our study tables and finding the right folks. So recruiting out of your mind to get the right fit and then, you know, growing them as the athlete that they're capable of being. So there was that piece, and the recruiting piece was always something that I felt we did really well. And I wanted to teach our coaches how to do that. But you have to add to that, what do we have to offer? And that's where a great amount of my pride comes with all the work we did to enhance the facilities. And what a team effort by the campus, from the president all the way down, that if we were going to get the kind of athlete we wanted, we needed to have facilities that said we were serious about our athletics. Right. And so during my short tenure as the athletic director over those 14 years, there was not a day that went by that I wasn't making a meeting or making a pitch to help the rest of the campus recognize that we needed these facilities so our serious athletes would come to play. And I am so proud, so, so proud of all the facilities that we've been able to grow, enhance, and give more opportunities to our students.
Right.
Both our student athletes and our recreational students.
Well, that's what I mean. I mean, I know that, you know, obviously your focus was athletics, but I think that because of the relationships that you built over the years with other areas on campus, you know, you cared about the campus. Like, to me, you know, you and I are very similar in that way. It's like, yeah, we work for athletics, but I think that we were involved in other areas that we were like, well, we're here, we work for Oneana. Like, that's who, you know, we work for Oneana. We just happen to be in athletics. So talk a little bit about that and how you think that global, you know, vision for a campus also made your job, you know, so exciting.
You know, I met some of my closest friends and my closest friends today by stepping out of the athletic arena and being on committees all over campus. I really enjoyed being on the standing disciplinary board for many years, and I got to be friends with Colleen Brannon, who was an absolute amazing resource and did so many things for the campus in her own right. And there were several other committees, whether it was searches for other positions on campus or helping with, you know, so many different events on campus. The fact that we put ourselves out there allowed us to get to know people. So yes, they were colleagues, but many of them were just really good friends too. People I wanted to hang out with after work and tell stories, because we all wanted the same thing. And we truly, in student affairs, under the advisement, under the supervision of Dr. Perry and Dr. Ingersoll, we were a team. We were just, there was so much teamwork all over campus that what you need, I need too. And what, when you, you know, all boats float on a rising tide. When you do well, we all do well. Right. And those were the things that we were all just so committed to that it just made it fun to go to work every day. I literally couldn't wait to get up and race to work. I mean, it sounds like you wish everybody had the kind of life that we had, but we had so much great support and friendship and commitment around us that the students benefited greatly all over campus because of it, from top all the way down. And I'm talking, we didn't, with our facilities, if we didn't have Tom Rathbone and our maintenance staff who loved the student athletes too and wanted to get it done with us, I tell you, hey, in the national championship, we had, you know, 3 inches of snow on the field for the national championship. What are we going to do? I'm like ready to get out there with a snow shovel. And, but when I got there at 7 a.m, they'd already had it cleared off.
Yeah.
I mean, they literally had to have started at 4 a.m. It was made me cry. Yeah. The people just wanted, everybody wanted us to be successful. And it was just a really, really special time.
Right.
So when I go back to being the athletic director and having the joy of working with all these great people that wanted to help, and certainly we had to agree to disagree. Yes. In lots of places too, because there were a lot of other important areas on campus that needed attention too. But as Tom Rathbone famously said when he was talking to me, I was his favorite client, but he said that to everybody. So yeah. The fact that the entire campus was elevated by the administration around us, that really helped, so that when we got our athletic facilities as well, it really mirrored a team commitment to SUNY Oneonta.
Yeah.
That was really just, I was just really proud to be a part of.
Yeah. So, you know, you served as chair of the NCAA Management Council, Division III, which is certainly, that's huge. That's huge. What kinds of things do you think that allowed you, you know, the kind of experiences that you had on a national level to be able to bring back to Oneonta? Because obviously you were dealing with 430 Division III schools, you know what I'm saying? And you're making decisions that affect, you know, not just Oneonta, but every other Division III school in the country. So how do you think that experience transpired for what you could do for Oneonta as well?
It was an amazing experience. And I couldn't have done it if we didn't have a great staff, a great coaching and administrative staff in our department, because I was gone quite a bit of the time with a lot of the meetings for the NCAA. But what it really, well, the networking and the commitment to being able to pick up the phone when I had a challenge or trying to figure something out that somebody had already done, that was just invaluable, absolutely invaluable, to try to find paths for all of our programs to get into the NCAAs by understanding the network of the NCAA right down to the grassroots. That I felt was invaluable. And I would encourage all of our college colleagues to be involved with the NCAA in any way that they can, because it really is lifelong friendships and incredible knowledge. I think I was able to take a lot of that stuff back to the conference too, and on the committees that we in creating the student experience for all of SUNY Division III was really, I think we implemented some really great things related to that. But I have to say, at the end of the day, it was really wonderful to learn that no matter how big those other institutions were, no matter how much they won, no matter what their budget was, they had the exact same challenges that we had every day. And so I just went into every day fearless, you know, and I tried, you know, when I was coaching too, to say, what do we have to lose? Let's go for it. Let's not give up. Let's make this the best day that we can. And hey, let's see what comes out of it, because something's going to bust out, you know, something, it's not going to work all the time, but let's go at it hard, because why not? You know, life is short. And in retirement, I feel more than anything, if I could go back to my younger self, I wish somebody had said to me, man, you think life is short? Life is really, really short, because some of my best friends have passed away, and it is not right. Like, get up every day and try to make it a great day, because you just don't know how much longer you have. And, you know, I'm missing some of those people like Roger Sullivan, who, you know, was an everyday joy for the college and such a meaningful change agent for the college. You know, he died way too young. And, you know, again, I think going back to being grateful for all of these experiences, from the NCAA to, you know, just, you know, Dr. Perry and Dr. Ingersoll giving me a shot at being an athletic director as a female. I mean, there were many years in the conference that I was the only female athletic director, and I really valued my athletic director counterparts, but I missed having other women in the room, right? Because it's hard to have your voice heard sometimes when you're the lone one.
Right. Well, we certainly know that your voice was heard. It was heard a lot, and it was made a lot of impactful, all the things that you did. Is there maybe, as we get, you know, towards the end here, is there anything that maybe one or two, you know, what are the things that you're most proud of? You know, I know you talk about the facilities and, of course, you know, national championship. I mean, you can't get any better than that. But are there other things that maybe people don't think, you know, like that maybe you're just saying, wow, I'm really glad we were able to get that done.
Most memorable, I guess I would have to say probably the thing I'm most proud of is, and there's a couple things, of course, but I would have to say in coaching, it would have to be the streak. The streak of, while David and I were coaching, it was 96 games unbeaten, which spanned over 9 or 10 years. Yep. And then I was so proud that our alumni, great player Liz McGrail, who took over the program, got us over the hump where we're still in that space, 101 games unbeaten for the country. And I think the reason that is so special is because it does really define our everyday trying to outwork everybody else.
Right.
And if you can teach a young player to have confidence and self-belief and dedication and commitment through the game, you know, respect, and the things that we honestly, we take for granted today, when you're ingraining those values and attributes into a young person, you know, I just feel really grateful that these young women have turned out to be absolutely spectacular women in our world, doing so many great things in their careers, raising their families, and having amazing relationships, because they don't know anything different, but doing, outworking everybody and doing it with excellence. So to me, I would say that's probably, as I look back now, I really hope that is what is the legacy that we have left over our coaching career.
Right.
From an administrative standpoint, you know, I really hope that people feel that I was easy to work with, that I was always trying to do the right thing, even though we didn't get it done. We tried really, really hard and didn't give up. And I suppose in all the facilities that have been put together, I started in 2006 to get a softball field on our campus, and that came in 2022. So patience is a virtue, but it did not stop me from trying all the time to see that to its end. So memorable in that those facilities were not easy to come by. Every project needed a champion, and I felt like, you know, that needed to be me to make those things happen. So the beauty of our campus was, I'm super, super proud of. And I'm incredibly proud of the relationships that I developed across campus and helped people understand how valuable athletics is to a campus, and a winning athletic program can be enormously more beneficial to your campus as a whole in its sustainability.
Right.
You know, and then I think of the little things that I'm just so proud of, because some of the things that I look back at that I really loved was the parent tailgates. We actually created a cookbook out of the tailgating that our parents did. It was called Gourmet Tailgating. We had so much fun while we were doing all we were doing, with an incredible effort by parents, the campus community, and then the Oneonta community. We had so many people that had no children on campus, had no other reason other than to love our winning program and to come to games and to support us all the time. Those were just really great days. Yeah. And then lastly, I would just have to say that the staff in athletics is one of the most committed staffs that I'd ever been a part of. And actually seeing the relationships through the NCAA's eyes, through the conference's eyes, we were really lucky that we were able to get the kind of coaches that we got and have at Oneonta, who are just stellar individuals who want to do the right thing and are getting it done. Yeah. So, you know, 30 years at Oneonta, it was just really a joy, a pleasure. I'm humbled and I'm just really grateful to have had the experiences I've had.
I know we've mentioned quite a few names of people that were certainly supporters and champions for us across campus. Are there any other people that you'd like to, you know, point to, you know, before we kind of say our goodbyes for now?
Well, I wouldn't be a good coach or wife if I didn't say once again that my husband, Dave Ranieri, was a rock star for the campus, not only as an athlete, but as an assistant coach for his 30 plus years for the campus, behind the scenes and always supporting me. Just the most amazing guy, married 32 years now, just so lucky that we had a lifetime together of putting it together like that. Yeah. So I really want to thank him, but I also, and in addition to him, going back to not only my family, who obviously I love and always supported me, but my high school coach, Noreen Decker, who's still in my life today. Wow. Was on the sideline for the national championship, was just always somebody who believed in me. And I hope everybody has somebody that believes in them that can help lift them. And she was certainly one of those people for me.
Wow. That's crazy. That's awesome.
lucky.
Yeah. Well, I think we're all lucky, Tracy. I mean, to have been able to be a part of, yes, we'd say the run, right? I mean, the big run and being able to be a part of it. I know there were battles. I know there were a lot of challenging days. Certainly we, you and I together through COVID, right? I mean, I think we think that was a huge challenge outside of athletics. You want to talk about challenges outside of athletics. To be able to work through that when there were no games. How can you be athletics if you're not playing any games, you know, which I think was tough for everyone because, you know, they just want to compete. Student athletes want to, you know, they come here, they want to do what they can, right? So certainly, having you kind of leading the charge in that as well was tremendous. And, again, congratulations. And we're looking forward to June 10th. And it's going to be a huge crowd there. I know there is.
Well, I want to just say thank you again. And if I missed a few people, you know, they know who they are in regards to my success is about a team effort and us all coming together to have a vision for student athletes. And, you know, I feel together, definitely, Jeff, you and I as a team too, really, really did the very best we could. And I appreciate that the college gave us the opportunities that they did to do what we loved.
Right.
As a career.
Right. Well, thanks again for joining me today on the Ozone, Tracy, and we'll see you on Saturday, June 10th.
You got it. Thanks so much.
All right. Take care.
Bye-bye.